we present What O Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Starring Michael Horton as Jeeves and Richard Bryars as Bertie Wooster. With this week's guest, Ronald Fraser as Lord Bittlesham. Bingo and the Little Woman.
Once a year, the Committee of the Drones decides that the old club could do with a wash and brush up, so they shoo us out and dump us down for a few weeks at some other institution. This time, we were roosting at the Senior Liberal, and personally I was finding the strain pretty fearful. I mean, when you've got used to a club where everything's nice and cheery, and where, if you want to attract a chappy's attention, you heave a bit of bread at him, it kind of damps you to come to a place where the youngest member is about 87, and it isn't considered good form to talk to anyone unless you and he were through the Peninsular War together. So it was a relief, one day after we'd been there about a week, to wander into the smoking room and spot young Bingo Little. He was lying back in an armchair with his mouth open and a sort of goofy expression in his eyes, but when I hailed him, he leapt up like a young ram and started massaging the fin with no little fervour.
Hello, face!
Bertie! Hello, ugly! Just the chap I wanted to see!
Shh! Keep it quiet!
Sorry!
Shh! Oh, silly!
Sorry!
How are you keeping, Bertie, old man? Oh, tolerably topping. I say, Bingo, this club, what? It's the frozen limit. Have you lunched here yet?
Oh, yes, Bertie.
Eh? What do you mean?
Oh, yes.
Bertie, in that dashed odd manner.
Oh, Bertie.
Bingo, what is all this?
Bertie, they have waitresses in this club.
Oh, pretty girls?
Mm-hmm. One of them is Bertie.
Bingo!
Shh! Do be quiet!
I'm sorry.
Really? Bingo, I know that bally look on your face. You've fallen in love again, haven't you?
Oh, Bertie. Bertie.
Oh, my golly, all right, spill the beans, you blighter. Apart from being a waitress, who is this bally female?
Don't talk about her like that, dash it all. She's an angel.
Quite, Bingo, quite. But a return to the rays. What's the problem?
Oh, for goodness sake, don't bustle me, Bertie. Let me tell the story in my own way.
Well, push along, then.
Right. I love her. And, well, I want you, Bertie, old boy, if you would, to biff round my Uncle Mortimer, Lord Bittlesham, you know, and do a bit of diplomatic work. You see, he still refuses to restore my allowance, confound him. And if anything, it must be increased and dashed quick, too. I can't marry on nothing. So you will help me, won't you, Bertie?
Will I? Oh, well, I... Look here, Bingo, I know. Why not wait a while, eh?
Wait? What's the good of waiting?
Well, you know what generally happens with your love affairs. They start off with a whoop and a rattle, and then something goes wrong with the works, and they end up poofing themselves out halfway down the street. Much better tackle your uncle after the whole thing's fixed and settled, what?
But, Bertie, you don't understand. It is all fixed and settled. She accepted me last night.
Good Lord! That's quick work. You can't have known her a week.
Ah, not in this life, no. But she has a sort of idea that we must have met in some previous existence. She thinks I must have been a king in Babylon when she was a Christian slave.
Mm.
Can't say I remember it myself, but there may be something in it.
Great Scott! Do waitresses really talk like that?
Well, how should I know how waitresses talk?
Well, you ought to by now. The first time I ever met your uncle was when you wanted to marry that girl Mabel in the Piccadilly bun shop, and you hounded me to go and ask for his consent.
Bertie!
Ow! Yeah, watch it. Those are my summer trouserings.
Do this,
sorry, sorry, sorry.
Sorry, Bertie. Excited, carried away. Look, you've given me an idea. Listen, Bertie, throw your mind back to that occasion. Do you remember the frightfully subtle scheme I worked?
You?
You remember, my uncle was dashed unkeen on the idea of my marrying a waitress, so he broke down his sales resistance by reading him all those sloppy Rosie M. Banks books, in which class distinction always came in for the most fearful buffeting.
That wasn't your idea, you pinhead, it was Jeeves's.
Ah, but you remember my part, telling him you were Rosie M. Banks and sending you round for lunch.
I remember, don't I just? The whole ghastly episode is absolutely seared into my memory.
Well, Bertie, that's the line of attack. That is the scheme. Rosie M. Banks forward once more.
What?
Shh! Do be quiet!
Look, all right. I am sorry.
No, Bingo. Absolutely no. I'm sorry, very sorry. It's out of the question. I couldn't go through all that again.
Not for me.
Not for a dozen more like you.
Bertie, old man, listen, look, be reasonable.
Shush!
There's absolutely nothing to it.
Shh.
Bertie! Bertie!
Shh!
Look, I am very, 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 very sorry.
And, of course, dash it, at the end of 10 minutes, I'd allowed the blighter to talk me round. It was the way. Anyone can talk me round. When I got home after lunch, I told Jeeves all about it.
Mr. Little is certainly warm-hearted, sir.
Warm-hearted? I should think he has to wear asbestos vests.
Yes, sir. And Mr. Little has requested you to approach the Lord Bittlesham on his behalf again?
Precisely, Jeeves. And I don't mind telling you, the thought of bearding the old boy in his lair and pretending to be Rosie M. Banks makes my flesh creep like a bally leopard. How do I wriggle out of it, Jeeves?
Insofar as Mr. Little would be greatly upset by any tergiversation on your part, sir, I regret to say that in my opinion it would be best to acquiesce in his wishes.
Oh, but dash it, Jeeves, Bingo says I must start off by sending the old boy an autographed copy of my latest book with a flattering inscription. I don't even know what my latest is.
The Woman Who Braved All, sir?
Ugh.
Yes, sir. The shops and bookstalls are full of nothing but it, I am told. If you wish, sir, I could go out right away and purchase 2 copies.
2?
Yes, sir. No doubt the Lord Bittlesham will wish to discuss your work with you, so...
What? Oh, you don't mean I've got to read the bally thing as well?
I fear that is unavoidable, sir.
Oh, I suppose so, Jeeves. Oh, hang it all. What a bally business, eh? What an infernal, confounded bally business. Bar a weekly wrestle with the Pinkham and an occasional dip into the form book, I'm not much of a lad for reading, and my sufferings as I tackled the woman curser who braved all were pretty fearful. But I managed to get through it, and only just in time as it happened, for I'd hardly reached the bit where their lips met in one long, slow kiss, and everything was still but for the gentle sighing of the breeze in the laburnum. When a messenger boy brought a note from old Bittlesham asking me to trickle round to lunch. I found the old boy in a mood you could only describe as melting. And later, as he toyed with things in aspic and whatnot, his 17-stone frame seemed positively to bulge with geniality and bonhomie.
Mr. Wooster, I wish to congratulate you. I wish to thank you. You go from strength to strength. I have read All for Love. I have read Only a Factory Girl. I know Madcap Myrtle by heart, but this is your bravest and best. It tears the heartstrings.
Does it? I mean, yes?
Oh, indeed, yes. I have read it 3 times since you most kindly sent me the volume, and I think I may say that I am a better, sweeter, deeper man. I am full of human charity and kindliness towards my species.
Oh, really?
Indeed I am.
Towards the whole species?
Toward the whole species.
But even young Bingo? I mean, I know that's trying you pretty high, but,
My nephew, Richard. Yes. I think... Even towards Richard. That is to say, perhaps. Yes, even towards Richard.
I say good egg, Lord Bittlesham, because I wanted to talk about him, don't you know? He's pretty hard up, you know. And he could use a bit of the right stuff paid every quarter if you felt like unbelting.
Well, fresh from a mental plunge into your noble work, I cannot harden my heart, Mr. Wooster. Richard shall have his allowance.
Stout fellow! Nothing personal. Good egg. Good show. That'll really take a weight off his mind. He wants to get married, you know.
I did not know. And I am not sure that I altogether approve, Mr. Wooster. Who is the lady?
Well, as a matter of fact, she's a waitress.
You don't say so, Mr. Wooster.
Yes.
This is remarkable. This is most cheering. I had not given the boy credit for such tenacity of purpose. An excellent trait in him which I had not hitherto suspected. I recollect clearly that on the occasion when I first had the pleasure of making your acquaintance, Richard was desirous of marrying the same waitress.
Ah, well, not absolutely this same waitress. In fact, quite a different waitress. Still a waitress, you know.
Well, I suppose Richard was displaying the quality of constancy, which is so rare in the modern young man. I must think it over. Yes, Mr. Wooster, I must give the matter a considerable deal of thought before I can give Richard my consent. A considerable deal of thought.
I reported to Bingo that evening that although his allowance seemed to be back on the strength, I couldn't really quote a better price than 100 to 8 against as regards the avuncular blessing. The old lad didn't take it well, and started to accuse me of mucking it all up, which, considering what I'd been through for his sake, struck me as a good bit sharper than the serpent's tooth. I thought no more about it till 3 days later, when, coming out into the street after lunch, I ran into the old crumpet oozing out of a taxi. He had a flower in his buttonhole, and a look on his face as if someone had hit him behind the ear with a stuffed eel skin.
Hello, Bertie. Just coming to see you.
Hello, Turnip. Where have you been all this while?
Oh, here and there. Ripping weather they're having, Bertie.
Not bad.
Quite. I see the bank rate's down again.
No, really?
Absolutely. Quite. Serving news from Lower Silesia, what?
Oh, dash.
Quite.
But Bingo, what the devil is the matter with you? Have you gone cuckoo?
What?
Stop babbling.
What? Oh, quite. Yes. Yes, Bertie. Yes, quite, yes. Oh, yes. I know what it was I wanted to tell you. I'm married.
Married? Oh, yes. The flower in the buttonhole, the dazed look. You've certainly got all the symptoms, but you're married, Bingo?
Yes, at a registrar's in Holborn this morning.
Wait a minute. Let's thrash this out in all its aspects. You're really married?
Yes.
The same girl you were in love with the day before yesterday?
What do you mean?
Well, you know what you're like. Tell me, what made you commit this rash act?
I wish the deuce you wouldn't talk like that, Bertie. I married her because I love her, dash it. The best little woman in the world.
Oh, that's all right, and deuce creditable, I'm sure. But have you reflected what your uncle's going to say? The last I saw of him, he was by no means in a confetti-scattering mood.
Bertie, I'll be frank with you. The little woman rather put me up to it, if you know what I mean.
I see. And what do you propose to do now?
Ah, I got it all planned out. After you've seen my uncle and broken the news...
What?
After you've seen my uncle...
You don't mean to say you think you're going to lug me into it.
Is this Bertie Wooster talking?
Yes, it jolly well is.
Bertie, old man, reflect. We were at school together. Ha! Good man. I knew I could rely on you. Look, the little woman's waiting in the cab. Let's dash round to Pouncey Gardens right away.
But,
come on, Bertie. This is my old pal Bertie Wooster, darling. He's coming round with us to kind of pave the way. Come on, Bertie.
Oh, right ho.
16 Pouncey Gardens, driver.
Right ho. I left Bingo and wife in the hall while I went upstairs to the drawing room and the butler toddled off to dig out the big chief. While I was prowling about the room waiting for him to show up, I suddenly caught sight of that bally woman who braved all lying open on one of the tables. There was a passage heavily marked in pencil, and directly I read it, I saw that it was all to the mustard and was going to help me in my business. This was the passage. What can prevail? Millicent's eyes flashed as she faced the stern old man. What can prevail against a pure and all-consuming love? Neither principalities nor powers, my lord, nor all the puny prohibitions of guardians and parents. I love your son, Lord Windermere, and nothing can keep us apart. Since time first began, this love of ours was fated, and who are you to pit yourself against the decrees of fate? The earl looked at her keenly from beneath his bushy eyebrows. Humph, he said. What bilge! Oh! Lord Biddlesham, hello and all that.
Ah, my dear Mr. Star, this is an unexpected pleasure. Pray take a seat. What can I do for you?
Well, the fact is, I'm more or less in the capacity of a jolly old ambassador at the moment, representing young Bingo, you know.
Richard, my nephew, what about him?
Ah, well, the way I always look at it, is that it's dashed difficult for anything to prevail against a pure and, all-consuming love. I mean, can it be done? I doubt it.
We discussed this matter at our last meeting, Mr. Worcester, and on that occasion...
Oh, yes, Lord Bittleson, but there have been developments, as it were, since then, you see. The fact of the matter is, coming to the point, don't you know, this morning young Bingo went and jumped off the dock.
Good heavens! Why? Where? Which dock?
Oh, no. I was speaking metaphorically, if that's the word I want. I mean, he got married.
Married?
Absolutely hitched up. Oh, I hope you aren't ratty about it. What? Young blood, you know? Two loving hearts and all that?
Oh, I am greatly disturbed by your news, Mr. Worcester. I consider that I have been, defied. Yes, defied.
Oh. But, who are you to pit yourself against the decrees of... Fate. What? The decrees of fate. The decrees of fate.
What?
Well, this love of theirs was fated. Since time began, you know.
Huh? Oh, my bless my soul, Mr. Worcester. You've been quoting.
More or less.
I thought your words sounded familiar. Dear me, dearie me, you know my weak spot. Let me see. What can prevail against a pure and all-consuming love? Neither principalities, nor powers, my lord, nor all the puny prohibitions of guardians and parents. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, quite, quite beautiful.
Quite.
Well, I must not be like Lord Windermere, must I, Mr. Worcester? Tell me, did you draw that haughty old man from a living model?
Oh, no, just thought of him and bunged him down, you know.
Genius! Genius! Well, Mr. Worcester, you have won me over. Who, as you say, am I to pit myself against the decrees of fate? I will write to Richard tonight and inform him of my consent to his marriage.
Oh, good, Ed. But I say, you can slip him the glad news in person if you like. He's waiting downstairs with wife complete. What? I'll pop down and send them up, shall I?
Oh, very well, Mr. Worcester.
Cheerio then, Lord Mitchell. Thanks very much. Bingo will be most awfully boxed, don't you know?
Goodbye. Goodbye, Mr. Worcester.
Whew. Bertie. Well? Ah, bingo, there you are. Well, all over except the hand-clasping, old man. I'll send the missus up and then you can both pop in and get matey.
I say, Bertie, thanks awfully.
Any time, old man, any time. Toodaloo now, thing. You know where to find me if you want me. 1,000 congratulations and all that sort of rot.
Cheerio, Bertie, and thanks again, old man. Cheerio.
Sent Mrs. Bingo upstairs, and then I pipped Jeeves, not wishing to be fawned on, you know.
Precisely, sir.
Not all the soda, Jeeves. Well, something attempted, something done, what? I feel I deserve a stiffish drink.
Very good, sir.
It was dashed useful having the book there, though, Jeeves, the more I think about it, to refer to, you know.
Indeed, sir. Would it be a liberty for me to ask whether your eyes flashed as you faced the stern old man, sir? If you will forgive the quotation.
Well, I sort of waggle my eyebrows. Anyway, it seemed to bring home the gravy and whatnot.
And everything is now thoroughly satisfactory, sir?
Well, I think so, Jeeves, I think so. Used as I am to seeing life's sitters blow up in the home stretch and finish nowhere, I can't see any cause for alarm in this affair of young Bingo. All he has to do now is to present the old missus and scoop in the blessing. Even an ass like Bingo should be able to manage that. Ah, someone waits without Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
If it's Mr. Little, no doubt he's just popping in to thank me in broken accents and tell me what a good chap I've been.
Bertie!
Ah, oh, Bingo, just in time for a small... Oh, my golly. My dear old soul, what's up? You look as if something solid has hit you in the solar plexus.
I will be calm!
I never liked that vase anyway, did you, Jeeves?
No, sir. Both in conception and execution, I considered it fell short of the highest achievements of the neoclassicist imagination.
Quite. Now, Bingo, sit down and stop plunging about the room. Look, sit down. What's gone wrong?
Only every bally thing that could go wrong, Bertie. What do you think happened after you left us? You know that beastly book you insisted on sending to my uncle?
Yes. What, the woman who braved all, you mean? It came in dashed useful. I was just telling Jeeves it was by quoting bits out of it that I managed to talk him round.
Well, it didn't come in useful when we got into the room. It was lying on the table, and after we'd started to chat a bit and everything was going along nicely, the little woman spotted it. Oh, have you read this, Lord Bittlesham, she said. 3 times already, said my uncle. I'm so glad, said the little woman. Why, are you also an admirer of Rosie M. Banks, asked the old boy, beaming. I am Rosie M. Banks, said the little woman.
What? Oh, my aunt, not really.
Yes, really.
But how could she be, Bingo? I mean, dash it, she was slinging the foodstuffs at the Senior Liberal Club.
She took the job to collect material for a book she's writing called Mervyn Keane Clubman.
Well, she might have told you.
It made such a hit with her when she found out that I loved her for herself alone, despite her humble station, that she kept it under her hat. She meant to spring it on me later on, she said.
Well, what happened then?
Oh, there was the dickens of a painful scene. The old boy nearly got apoplexy, called her an imposter. They both started talking at once at the top of their voices, and the thing ended with the little woman buzzing off to her publishers to collect proofs as a preliminary to getting a written apology from the old boy. Oh, what's going to happen now, I don't know. My uncle will be as mad as a wet hen when he finds out that he's been fooled. What am I going to do, Bertie? What am I going to do?
I don't know.
Thanks. That's a lot of help.
Oh, geez, answer it.
Very good, sir. Yes? Oh, good afternoon, my lord. Yes, my lord, he is. For Mr. Little, sir.
Oh, my golly, is it my uncle?
Yes, sir.
Oh, gosh. Hello, Uncle Mortimer.
Well, geez.
What?
Exactly, yes, sir.
What? Precisely, geez.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Bertie?
What's happened now?
Things are hotting up nicely. My uncle's just given the little woman's proofs the once-over and admits her claim. He was pretty snappy on the phone. He says that you and I made a fool of him and he could hardly speak, he was so shirty. Still, he made it clear all right that my allowance has gone fut again.
I'm sorry, Bingo.
Don't waste time being sorry for me, old man. He's coming straight round to call on you to demand a personal explanation.
Great Scott!
And the little woman's coming straight round to demand a personal explanation.
Good Lord!
I shall watch your future career with considerable interest. Goodbye.
But Bingo... Jeeves, I'm in the soup. What do you advise?
I think if I were you, sir, I would accept Mr. Pitt Whaley's invitation immediately. If you remember, sir, he invited you to shoot with him in Norfolk this week.
So he did, by Jove, Jeeves. You're always right. Meet me at the station with my things at 5 o'clock. I'll go and lie low at the club for the rest of the afternoon.
Would you require my company on this visit, sir?
Do you want to come?
If I might suggest it, sir, I think it would be better if I remained here and kept in touch with Mr. Little. I might possibly hit upon some method of pacifying the various parties, sir.
Righto, but if you do, Jeeves, you're a marvel. I didn't enjoy myself much in Norfolk. It rained most of the time, and when it wasn't raining, I was so dashed jumpy I couldn't hit a thing. By the end of the week, I couldn't stand it any longer. Too bally absurd, I mean, being marooned miles away in the country just because young Bingo's uncle and wife wanted to have a few words with me. I made up my mind that I'd pop back and do the strong, manly thing by lying low in my flat and telling Jeeves to inform everybody who called that I wasn't at home. When I reached town, I thought I'd better find out the general position of affairs, so I made straight for the drones in order to dig out young Bingo. It wasn't one of the cheeriest moments of my career when, rounding the corner of Dover Street, I ran plumb-spang into the globular form of Lord Bittlesham. However, instead of turning purple and letting me have it in the gizzard, as I rather expected, the old boy simply smiled weakly, made a lumbering leap to one side, and scuttled off down the street at a high rate of MPH. So I biffed on to the drones.
Bingo! Hello, Bertie. I thought you were out of town.
Well, I just got back, but I still been. What's happening? I just bumped into your uncle, and dash it, the man looked absolutely scared. He gobbled at me, you know, as if I was something in a glass case, and then took to his heels like a scalded cat.
That's quite right, Bertie. I forgot to tell you about that. Meant to write, but kept putting it off. He thinks you're a loony.
He what?
He thinks you're a loony. Jeeves' idea, you know.
What?
Yes, one of his very best, too, if I may say so. Solves the whole problem splendidly. Jeeves suggested that I should tell my uncle that I'd acted in perfectly good faith in introducing you to him as Rosie M. Banks.
What?
That I'd repeatedly had it from your lips that you were, and that I didn't see any reason why you shouldn't be.
What?
The idea being that you were subject to hallucinations and generally potty.
What?
And then we got hold of Sir Roderick Glossop, and he rallied round with his story of how he'd come to lunch with you and found your bedroom full up with cats and fish and whatnot, and he just rounded the thing off nicely.
What?
I always say, and I always shall say, that you only got to stand on Jeeves and fate can't touch you.
Well, of all the dashed bits of nerve I ever...
You aren't annoyed, Bertie.
Annoyed? At having half London going about under the impression that I'm off my chump? Dash it all!
Bertie, you amaze and wound me. If I dreamed that you'd object to doing a trifling good turn to a fellow who's been a pal of yours for 15 years...
Yes, but look here!
Have you forgotten, Bertie? We were at school together.
Oh, Bingo. I pushed on to the old flat, seething like the dickens. One thing I was jolly certain of, and that was that this is where Jeeves and I party company. A topping valet, of course, none better in London, but I wasn't going to allow that to weaken me. I buzzed into the flat like an east wind, and there was the box of cigarettes on the small table, and the illustrated weekly papers on the big table, and my slippers on the floor, and every dashed thing so badly right, if you know what I mean, that I started to calm down in the first 2 seconds. It was like one of those moments in a play where the chappie about to steep himself in crime suddenly hears the soft, appealing strains of an old melody he learned at his mother's knee. Softened, I mean to say. Yes, that's the word I want. I was softened. And then, through the doorway there shimmered good old Jeeves in the wake of a tray full of the necessary ingredients, and there was something about the mere look of the man However, I steeled the old heart and had a stab at it. I have just met Mr. Little Jeeves.
Indeed, sir.
He told me you had been helping him.
I did my best, sir. And I'm happy to say that matters now appear to be proceeding smoothly. Whiskey, sir?
Thanks. Jeeves!
Sir?
Another time.
Sir?
Oh, nothing. Not all the soda, Jeeves.
Very good, sir.
Jeeves?
Sir?
I wish... That is a... I think... I mean... Oh, nothing.
Very good, sir. The cigarettes are at your elbow, sir. Dinner will be ready at 7:45 precisely, unless you desire to dine out.
No, I'll dine in.
Yes, sir.
Jeeves.
Sir?
Oh, nothing.
Very good, sir.
In that episode of Watto Jeeves, the parts were played as follows. Jeeves, Michael Horden, Bertie, Richard Briers. Lord Mitchelsham, Ronald Fraser. Bingo Little, Jonathan Cecil. Bingo and the Little Woman was adapted for radio by Chris Miller from the book The Inimitable Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Watto Jeeves was produced by David Hatch.